Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Well, my, what a wonderful presence of the Lord is in this house today. Hallelujah. Well, God is a good God. Somebody needs to say, yes, he is. With uplifted hands, could we say, yes, he is. Amen. He has never done me nothing but good. Praise God. And it's our delight to be with you here in Nacogdoches on Sunday morning in the house of the Lord. And I have so appreciated what we have already enjoyed in this house today. And these young people singing songs of praise, singing songs of worship unto the Lord. And I don't know if you're aware of it, but you've already had some good preaching. Ministry and song. These songs, magnifying, blessed be the name. Power, power, wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Talking about a God that is a way maker, a miracle worker, a promise keeper. Oh, yeah. Amen. I'll tell you what, we've been ministered to already in these songs, and I have been blessed to see these young people in the house of the Lord. And don't ever underestimate the value of such as has happened here this morning. Some of my earliest memories are singing in those children's choirs. And back in our day, back in the last, you know, I am old, brother. Thank you for your kindness, but you tried to fix that, but everybody looks at me and knows they're looking at a great-grandpa, and every kid in the house knows I'm a grandpa. But back in our day, we used to have those, y'all won't be able to relate, but we had our little children's choir. We had sticks that we kind of bumped together. We had triangles, little metal triangles, and we had a deal you put in them and banged them around, and maybe one or two tambourines. But that for me was over 60 years ago. And those memories are still in my heart here today. So don't underestimate the value of these children giving of themselves and learning how to open their mouth and give God praise. Amen, amen, amen. If the Lord tarries, it will be to their benefit. And God bless a pastor in a church that has a burden for young people. Praise God. Well, it's great to be in Nacogdoches. I was driving up yesterday and then driving to church this morning. And I told the pastor, as I observed this part of the world, I said, man, in my mind, this is one of the choice areas of Texas. Amen. I really mean that. And just go, and I'm not trying to speak disparagingly. Is that a word? I think it is. I don't want to speak ill of where I've been living for the last 32 years, at least part of the time. But I'm down there in the land of swamps, alligators, and skeeters. I think they renamed the state bird mosquito down that way. Flatlands, our town is only about 8 feet above sea level. Well enough of that. It's a beautiful country in this part of the world. Praise God. The Lord has blessed you to be a part of it. What a great church. What a great atmosphere. That's a good place to go to heaven from. What do you say? Good place to go to heaven from. We're just honored, very honored to be here. Thank you, Pastor, for allowing us to come. And I got to looking it over. It's been 11 months. Been 11 months since I first came, my first service to this assembly. And time has passed so very quickly. We've been traveling quite extensively this last year. And good friends like your pastor's been kind enough to open their pulpit and give me opportunity to try to exercise what ministry I have left here in my journey. Praise God. And we're trusting the Lord to help us today. I hope you haven't got too much dinner on your mind already. Oh my, I see I'm going to have to work on that. nothing else. I'll make you have an appetite. But I hope that we can have an appetite for what the Lord would have to say to us today. How many still believe in the value of the word of the Lord? It's what saved us. It's what has kept us. Amen. It's going to be what will take us through. Thank you for the wonderful accommodations that's been provided, all that are involved in that. And I've enjoyed it last evening and this morning. I want to direct your attention, if you will, quickly to the book of St. Matthew. St. Matthew's Gospel, and we're going to be looking at chapter number 7. Chapter 7 of the Gospel according to St. Matthew. And then we'll be reading beginning at verse number 7 through verse 11. And then later this morning, I felt impressed to add another reading to our text reading. It's two passages that would seem unrelated, but I feel like that the Lord has made a connection, and I hope that I can convey that to you today. Praise God. Matthew chapter number 7, and very familiar reading, verse number 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that, and everyone said, ask him. He's wanting to give good things to everyone that asks him. And in the book of Philippians, we would like to read. It's one of these epistles of the Apostle Paul. We would like to read from chapter number 2 and verses 12 and 13. I've never connected these two passages as far as a scripture text ever, but I feel compelled today. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And this next verse has somehow enraptured my heart. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. God visits the heart of an individual. God calls the heart of an individual, and it is God. I could say it that it is the grace of God, the visitation of his grace in our lives that begins to work in us to will and to do his good pleasure. I want to speak with you just for a little while today, and I'll try to make it a little while, but I want to talk about God's got it if you want it. I want to talk about you can have it if you want it. Praise God. And may the Lord bless our hearts to the receiving of his word. And everybody said amen. Amen and amen. God bless you so much. You can be seated. I was thinking, even just in my studies and meditations last evening, this, just as an introduction, this something of a prayer that I just mentioned when I said, may the Lord bless our hearts to the receiving of his word oftentimes, most of the time, maybe with few exceptions, I introduce a message or begin a lesson, teaching or whatever, it was such statement of, may the Lord bless our hearts to the hearing of his word. May the Lord bless our hearts to the hearing and receiving of his word. And it dawned on to me that indeed that is a favorable way to approach the word of the Lord. Amen. That the Lord would bless our hearts. I'm saying it that the Lord would inspire our hearts so as that we might be able to hear, truly hear, and then, yes, receive of his word. Often I make that statement and I ask the congregation to say, in Jesus' name. And therein, I consider it as something of a prayer. I consider it as something of a petition. And I would hope and trust and pray here on this Sunday morning that there are those, I would say, yes, we would hope that all are here today to truly hear and receive. Amen. I know there's a certain social aspect to church, and we don't take away from that. And there's a certain camaraderie and the fellowship factor, and we don't take away. It's all a part. But above and beyond all of that is the matter of the hearing and the receiving of what the Spirit would have to say to us today. Amen. Concerning the needs of our lives and the areas of concern and the needs of spiritual development. Praise God. God's word is already inspired. Some years ago, as a young man, I was preaching in South Florida, and it was at a very renowned church with a great, great renowned pastor, 20 rows of pews and 20 rows of pews and 20 rows of pews, and I was the ripe old age of 19 years old, and I mentioned, and we've heard it, but I said, let's pray that God would anoint his word. Well, I preached my little sermon as a 19-year-old, and the old elder got up, and he wasn't real ugly about it, but he kind of set the young kid in place. He kind of put me in place, and he just kind of reminded us. He said, look, you don't have to pray for God to anoint his word. His word's already anointed. I just kind of humbly tucked my head and said, amen. I just kind of took it. You can tell it worked. Amen. All these years later, I still remember that service. I still remember that service. Well, for what it's worth, everybody needs those kinds of service where somehow we are led and directed. I never forgot that God's word is already anointed. Praise God. It came here anointed. Holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. But what is needed, brothers and sisters, is that our hearts be inspired to receive it. Amen. The inspiration, God's word, came by inspiration. That means it was breathed. That's what that word inspiration means. It means the breath of God. It was the life force, the energy of God, the very life of God that breathed in and through upon the mind and, yes, the emotions of those writers of old. And they spake and they wrote as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And our prayer should be, God, your word is already anointed. Now it's me that needs anointed. Your word is already inspired. Now it's me that needs inspired. We need to come to the house of the Lord with a feeling deep in our heart. Amen. That God's got it. God's got it. Whatever I'm in need of, God's got it. Whatever depth that I need to be taken to in the spirit, God's got it. Apostle Paul reminds us that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. They are foolishness unto him, neither doth he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. I think I'm seeing there that the apostles say, you're going to need God to breathe on you. You're not going to need God to send some inspiration into your mind. You're going to need help beyond your DNA. You're going to need help beyond your natural lineage. You're going to need help beyond your natural mind. I say, God, breathe on us. I say, God, breathe on us. I say, God, inspire us. I say, God, if you've got a word, give me the mind to receive it. Give me the heart to receive it. Lord, inspire me to make the connection that your word can indeed become the word of faith in my heart, so that it can bring about the design that you would have for it too. Are you here today saying, God, I don't want to just have another service, but breathe on me. I don't want to hear just another sermon. Breathe on me. I don't want to just endure another Sunday sermon, but God, if you've got anything to say, if you've got anything to do in my life, breathe upon me and enable me to receive. Help me to be able to receive. We have read today from one of the beautiful areas. All the Word of God is beautiful, of course, but we have read from a very beautiful portion. This is the Apostle Matthew, or the disciple Matthew, in his gospel record, writing concerning what has been referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew's account is the most thorough of the accounts. Luke mentions it, but very, very briefly. And I'm quite sure that what Matthew wrote is not the entirety of all that Jesus said on that mountain that day, but what has been imparted and allowed to be penned in the holy word of God is those portions and parts that the Spirit would want to give and impress and make available unto us. Involved in the Sermon on the Mount is, if I might say, kingdom principles. The way that those in his kingdom would live and should live. It tells about those principles that would be the earmarks, if you please, of Christianity. And when we read over in the epistles, the writings of Paul and Peter, just a little Bible lesson here today. Amen. We read Paul's writings, Peter's writings. It's just amazing how many times, even if you have a Bible that has a center column reference, that's not divine. That's a publisher's rendition. But be that as it may, oftentimes in reading the instruction that Paul was giving to the church and Peter was giving to those that would be followers of Christ, Christians, believers, it's just amazing how many times those references, it takes you right back to the Sermon on the Mount. It takes you right back to the teachings of Jesus that were mentioned in the Sermon on the Mount. I'm submitting to us today the reason that Paul could write in that vein and Peter could write in that vein was that they had the Spirit of Christ living in them. And they were preaching with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. And that Spirit of Christ in them would testify, amen, and give witness to those very self-same principles that Jesus spoke about. The very self-same principles involved involved in the teachings of the Sermon on the Mount, of course, is that lesson in chapter 6, right? Almost in the middle of Matthew's account. And there is those beautiful words, amen. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And there he introduces the idea and the subject and the matter of prayer. He said, after this manner, pray. Not if you want to, not if you just make decision, but he's making a point that those that would be in his kingdom were going to pray. That those who are going to walk with him would have prayer habit in their lives. Aren't you glad for a praying church? Aren't you glad for an atmosphere of prayer? Aren't you glad for an old time Pentecostal atmosphere that still believes in the value and the power of prayer? Amen. Every pastor is indebted and has great gratitude for those in the congregation that help maintain that the house of God be a house of prayer. Amen. Every pastor is so thrilled to have those that have the burden and the vision and the concept of prayer. Every saint of God is benefited by those in the church that have a burden and a passion for prayer. Can I go on? Every would-be convert. Every would-be convert. Praise God. Are going to be a product of a praying church. They're going to be a product of a praying people. And as they grow in maturity and walk with God, they're going to be able to feel and perhaps even voice, I'm glad that when I went to a church, it was a praying church. I'm glad I heard the sounds of prayer. There was an atmosphere of prayer. I've heard those kinds of testimonies. Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, made that lesson concerning prayer. Chapter 6. Yet again in chapter 7, and I'm trying to hasten here, the very next chapter, Jesus again speaks about this matter of asking and receiving. He speaks again of this matter of one talking to God. He speaks again of this principle that is going to be much a part of the life of a child of God. And he says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. He said, I have to tell you, for everyone, could you say it? Everyone? Could everyone say everyone? Everyone, everyone. Hey, that includes you. That includes you, you, and you, and you. That includes everybody that's in this room today. Everybody that's around the face of the earth today. For everyone, everyone can have an audience with God. Everyone can have a voice that ascends before the throne. Everyone can come to a place to believe that I can ask and I can pray and God hears me. It's a blessed day, brothers and sisters. It was a blessed time in your life when the word of faith got a hold of you and it said, whosoever surely meaneth me, whosoever surely includes me, I can talk to God. I can bring my petition. I can bring my prayer and the Lord will hear me. The Lord will hear me. That revelation, that compulsion, that conviction, amen, that my simplest prayer, the Lord will hear me. There might be somebody here on this Sunday morning, Amen. You could look around and see others and say, well, they were raised in this. You could look at others and just have the feeling they know so much about this. Look, God will hear your prayer. God will hear your humble cry. God will hear your prayerful attitude. And our entrance into the kingdom of God and our progress in the kingdom of God is always, always from beginning to the end. It's always going to involve this matter of asking, of receiving, of seeking and finding, of knocking, so that God could open the door and say, come in, and I'll, as it was said in the book of Revelation, I'll sup with you. That means I'll have fellowship with you. This business of asking, of seeking, of knocking, that's the way we found repentance. Yes, praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. We come asking, God, forgive me of my sins. We come seeking, saying, God, I'm lost and I want to be saved. We come knocking at heaven's door with urgency in our heart. I submit to you today that these are prerequisites that are needed to function in the kingdom of God, to get entrance and to keep progress in our walk with God, is the asking, the seeking, the knocking. Amen. And it'll be apart from the time of our initial repentance until he takes the church out, or we go by the way of the grave. We're going to be continually asking. We're going to be continually seeking. We're going to be continually knocking, because we have the conviction in our heart, God's got it. God's got it. My title today was God's Got It If You Want It. God's got it if you want it. But those that step into that dimension of asking and seeking and knocking, amen, are saying, God's got it and I want it. Right. Amen. Amen. The idea is you can have it. You can have it if you want it. You can have forgiveness of sins. Praise God. You can have a closer walk with God. So much about our relationship with God, the burden of it, the responsibility of it. I want to go on record today. There's no shortage in God. Amen. God's got it. There's no shortage in God. God's got it. What we have need of, what we have prayer for, what we have requests for. How many times evangelizing through the years and pastoring and every other minister of the gospel has tried to appeal to the hearts of people and pray that they would receive faith to receive the word. When we tell them, you can have it if you want it. You can have it. You can have it if you really, really want it. Hallelujah. Just even earlier today, I felt that I was complete in my text selection. But earlier, just before coming to church, I thought again of this passage in Philippians. And I know it's a stretch from Matthew chapter 7. And I told you at the outset that it may seem that it does not really connect, but let me have just a few moments of your time to tell you what I feel the Lord has directed me about it. Philippians chapter number 2, we read to you verse 12 and 13. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have obeyed, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, Paul tells the church at Philippi, but now much more in my absence, He could say, thank God you are still walking in obedience. And it is important that even in my absence, amen, that you continue in your persistence of walking in the ways of God. He says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What's this? For it is. And everybody said, God. Come on, help me. God. It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. I'm submitting to us today, as I mentioned earlier, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. They are foolishness unto him. He doesn't know them. They are spiritually discerned. Praise God for one to even begin that initial experience of approach unto God. It has to be a work of grace.
Yes, indeed.
We're born in sin. We're shapen in iniquity. Our natural mind, the great apostle said, receiveth not the things of the Spirit. They are foolishness unto him. Neither doth he know them, but they are spiritually discerned. Yeah, we need the inspiration from the Almighty. The Word, I say again, the Word is already anointed. I got a message today. Anybody want to hear it? I got a burden today. Does anybody want to hear it? I believe the Lord sent me here this morning to try to touch somebody's heart. Yeah, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. It's going to take a work of grace in the heart and the mind of an individual to awaken in them their need. To awaken in them their need. To bring that old time conviction. To bring that old time concern about my soul, about my eternity. There have been those that have never hardly gave a thought about God, about eternity, but they get into the presence of the church. They get into the atmosphere of prayer and worship, or someone sits with them with an open Bible and shares with them God's beautiful plan of salvation. And they're visited by grace. I said they're visited by grace. They're overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. And something sacred and divine becomes conceived in their heart. Oh, I wish that could happen here on this day. Amen. I wish that would happen. The elder mentioned about the Bible studies that are going on. That's our prayer, that around that kitchen table or wherever it might be, we're saying, God, we're going to open a book. It is printed page and paper, ink and print. But God, would you visit us here? God, would you overshadow this heart? God, we understand that it's not by our might. Come on now. It's not by our power. But the work of the church has always been a work of the Spirit. Hallelujah. That one that goes out and teaches that Bible lesson has previously prayed, God, with my limited abilities, God, with my limited abilities, Lord, I'm depending on you. Bring inspiration. God, your word is already inspired. God, overshadow this individual. God, move into this humble abode and let the inspiration of the Almighty bring understanding.
Yes, indeed.
Hallelujah. Let it be that then God would work in them to will and to do his good pleasure. God would begin to work in them. They may never thought much about heaven, hell, death, life, eternity, but God, grace, let grace visit them, work in them, bring about a work that now there's a desire to will. It wasn't there yesterday, but now there's a desire to will and to do his good pleasure. There's a call from another world that takes precedent in their life. Amen. There's concerns that are awakened in their heart and spirit that had never happened before. What's going on? It is God working in them. To will and to do his good pleasure, to where there is an awakening that says, God's got it. God's got it. God's got what I need. God's got what my heart is hungry for. God's got it. Hallelujah. From the days of old until now, apostolic ministry has been trying to convey the message, God's got it, sir. God's got it, ma'am. God's got it, young person. God's got it if you want it. God's got it if you'll respond to the visitation of his grace. God's got it. But the need is you've got to respond to his visitation. As God romances, if you will, the heart, there's got to be somebody reaching up and squeezing his hand. Come on now. There's got to be that reciprocal heartbeat. Ha ha ha. We can't walk by God in a smug way and say, oh, maybe some other time. We can't just kind of throw our head up, amen, and walk on. No, no, no. There's got to be something to say, I recognize right here God's calling. I recognize right here God has plans for me. I recognize right here that God is dealing with me. God's got what I need. And thank God for those from the days of Pentecost until now that have echoed it. When God begins to, I want it. I want it. I want it. I want it. And involved in this great Sermon on the Mount, what was it Jesus said in one of the Beatitudes? Blessed. Yes. Blessed. Yes. Are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed is the one that wants it. Blessed is the one that doesn't silence and stifle that spiritual hunger. Blessed is the one that when their heart is awakened, they'll respond with, thy face, Lord, will I seek. When that call comes that says, I want to deal with you and I want to work, there has to be, brothers and sisters, I know this is old timey preaching, but there has to be, I will. I will. And from that initial conversion all the way through our walk with God, it's I will. From the very initial conversion all the way through to grow, to mature, to walk with God, there has to be that continual submission and obedience. God, you've got what I need. It's your will to give me the kingdom. It's your will to take me to places I have never been. But God, hear it from me. I want it. I want it. I want it. Am I talking to anybody here on Sunday morning? Am I talking to somebody that may have never been born again, but there's a want to? Am I talking to somebody, amen, that has lived for God for years? For years. But there's still that, take me where I've never been. Lead me and I'll follow. There's that want to that says, I know there's higher heights. There's that want to that says, I know there's deeper depths. And they're opening their Bible in the privacy of their home. And they're making personal consecrations and personal dedications. And their heartbeat is, I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. I don't want to grieve the tender, beckoning Spirit of God. How so? With my indifference. How so can I grieve the Spirit of God with my complacency? How so can I grieve the Spirit of God with my apathy, with my lukewarmness? All of us have to confess there's been times we've had to stir ourselves. Come on, give me just a little bit. I'm hurrying. I mentioned dinner a while ago. Maybe you got that on your mind. Get that out of your mind. We're eating right now. We're eating of God's manna. We're eating of the heavenly bread. Amen. All of us have had times of refreshing, and we needed times of renewing. We needed times of challenge. We needed times that we raised our sights a little higher and said, I can have more. I can be greater. I can go deeper. And that's a visit of grace. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. If God could choose and does choose to visit our lives, I go back and say, our heartbeat ought to be, I don't want to grieve God. If God should choose to touch us, if God could choose to write a message of love in our mind and in our heart, God, I'm going to open the mail. God, I'm going to receive the letter. I am going to thank you that you have visited my mind on this Sunday morning. I'm going to be glad that you burdened the heart of a preacher that I don't even know to come and try to encourage me, amen, into greater dimensions of spiritual things. I don't want to grieve God. When he romances, forgive that word, I hope it's not offensive, but when he romances my heart, when he tries to appeal to my mind, when he reaches with his grace, I don't want to miss it. I don't want to abuse it. I don't want to mistreat it. I want to embrace it. I want to come to believe, God, you've got it. You've got it, and I want it. God, you've got it. You've got it. And I've come to tell somebody today, God's got it if you want it. You want it, yes. If you want it. There was a time that Jesus began to speak to the people in parables. He spoke about the parable of the sower in the 13th chapter of Matthew. You can look there later. There were several parables that Jesus spoke concerning the kingdom. The kingdom is like unto, and he would speak a word picture, a parable. And I looked at this last night. Y'all got a couple minutes? I hope you'll give them away. Well, you can enjoy this if you give up your minutes, but if I take them, it won't be near as much fun. After he spoke about the parable of the sower and said, who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. His disciples, watch this. The disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou Why speakest thou in parables? Amen. Why is it that you would speak to us in speakest thou unto them? Why are you talking this business in parables? He said, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. To him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. Watch, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Amen. Therefore speak I to them in parables. I'm talking to them in parables, because they, seeing, they don't really see. Seeing, they see not. And hearing, oh yeah, they've got the natural abilities to hear, but they hear not, neither do they understand. I'm talking to them in parables. Bulkly, largely, the majority of the Jews that Jesus ministered to in his day, are you with me? He came unto his own, and his own received him not. There wasn't a heart in them that was responding. There wasn't a hunger in them that was reaching. They were satisfied with their tradition. They were satisfied with their hum-ho religion. Jesus said, they have ears, but they're not hearing. They have eyes, but they're not seeing. What's he talking about? The spiritual matter, the real message, the real lesson that I want to bring. I've got it, but it's not meeting in them. The bed, seed bed, the garden of their heart, the ambition of their mind, it's not in them to receive. They don't want it. They don't want it. I'm going to tell you something. Amen. It's as though God, speaking in these parables, it was as though to get the good, to get the gold, you got to dig. Praise the Lord. Anybody in church today? Yes, to get the good, you got to put the bucket in the bottom of the well. Right. To get the understanding, you got to meditate, and you've got to seek, and you've got to ask, and you've got to knock. Oh, I know. I feel like there's revelation in the house today, if we could receive it. Not because Mike Phillips is preaching today, but because I feel like God spoke to my heart. I don't say that lightly, folks. I've been at this a long time. I feel like the Lord quickened this to my spirit. Hallelujah. You gotta dig to get the gold. You gotta search to find the riches. You've gotta make, and everybody said, inquiry. Amen. You got to be a sincere searcher. You got to be a interested inquirer. You got to be a diligent seeker. Amen. When wisdom is personified as being, as it were, a person in the book of Proverbs chapter 8 and 17, wisdom says, I love them that love me. And those that seek me early shall find me. And that word early means diligently. I love them that love me. You're interested in me, I'm interested in you. You're searching after me, I'm searching after you. You're a lover of me, I'm going to show you my love. I'm going to diligently. If you will diligently search, yeah, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Who's it going to be in this last day? It says, and I can't hardly preach, Brother Crosswhite. I was raised on music, so I can't preach without thinking about songs. I can't preach or teach or whatever without thinking about a Psalms. Hallelujah. Again, don't underestimate these children and Psalms. Some of what I feel and preach about at my old age, I got it in Psalms. And one of them was, oh, I can sing better than I can preach, okay? Don't send any requests tonight. I'm not going to do it, but get me to sing. I got to send in my own request. Praise God. Glory. Hallelujah. But it said, oh, Lord, I'm hungry and I want to be fed. Oh, some of you old heads remember. Oh, excuse me. Some of you elderly people. Oh, Lord, I'm hungry and I want to be fed. Woo! That's the kind of stuff brought Pentecost to my life. That's the kind of heartbeat that brought truth to my world. That's where my grandparents and my parents found it. Oh, Lord, I'm hungry and I want to be fed. Woo! You got it. God, you got it. And I want it. I want it. I want it. I want it. Oh, Lord. That's how you got the Holy Ghost. That's how you spoke in tongues. That's how you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Let's stand together today, everybody. It's God's got it. God, you 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 got it. You've got the Holy Ghost for me. You've got that word of edification for me. You've got that word of encouragement. Somebody shout it for me. Shout it aloud for me. Yeah. Yeah. And that Bartimaeus by the side of the road, somewhere faith had grown in his heart. Blind Bartimaeus, blind, living in darkness, living with no light. But he heard of Jesus. Woo! He must have heard of some of his miracles. He must have heard of some of his signs and wonders. And he heard he was passing by. Something in him said he's got it. Something inside said if I can get his attention. Something worked in him, faith, a little bit of faith. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, thou son of David, I seek your mercy. Faith was working in his heart. Inspiration was moving in his heart, and he responded with a prayer, seeking, asking, knocking. Are we going to let 2023, that's just days away from being over, are we going to let 2024, if the Lord tarry, church? I don't want to take advantage of my liberties. You don't know me very well at all. But I only bring to you what I feel the Lord has laid on my heart. Hallelujah. Let it be that this church, this apostolic lighthouse church, every Sunday morning, that heaven will feel the vibration. I want it. Every Sunday night, that God could feel, as it were, the energy of the church. I want it. Every prayer meeting, midweek service, Bible class, intercessory prayer, saying, We want revival. We want to see souls saved. We personally want spiritual maturity and growth. I want it. God, you've got it. And it is you that's working in me. I want to will. I want to do. I want to do. Your good pleasure. Amen. Young person, why not commit yourself to say, I'm going to make consecration and dedication. I looked at these songs that were up here and these children were singing about my hands. Use my hands. Singing about make me an instrument. Let me be a vessel. Where are they? God, I want it. God, I want it. Some are coming up tonight to draw near, or today to draw near. Perhaps there'd be others just by stepping close to the altar this morning that would let heaven know, I want it. God's not going to force us, but yeah. Do not pass me by. I want it. Jesus, use me. Oh, Lord, don't refuse me. As we sing a chorus of a song, as the Lord would lead, let there be the sounds of prayer around the altars, all over the house today where you're standing. If there's nothing working in you, ask God. God, give me the will. Ask God for a visitation of grace. If there's a deadness and a dryness and a staleness and a distancing in your... God, I'm scared. And you ought to be. We ought to be. God, why am I not healing? Move upon me. Inspire me, Lord. Breathe upon me. Let's all pray right where you are. Pray.
God, you know, Lord, you know.
Pray. Young man, pray. Young lady, pray. Senior saint, pray today. Keep working in me to will and to do. Oh, there ought to be a heartbeat here today. There ought to be a cry out of our heart here today. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Cast me not away. Oh, God, 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 would you help us? Come on, let's lift our voices to him. God, you've got it. I want it. What I need comes from you. Praise God. Praise God.
Come on, put your sail out today. The wind of the Lord wants to blow your sail. Put it out today. Come on, let it catch the breeze of the Lord, the wind of God. Hallelujah, Lord God, in your name, I hunger, I thirst for you, Jesus. Hallelujah, I need what you have today. God, I don't want to miss what you're trying to get over today. Would you pray with that person near you right now? Even find somebody near you, just link with them in prayer.
Jesus, I will.
I need you today, Lord.
If you need me,
oh God, move me with your spirit.
I will.
God, whatever the
price,
whatever the sacrifice. Believe the Lord with me. Help me believe the Lord. Somebody.
If you want to
stir me deep today, God. God. Stir deeply in my spirit, Jesus.
If you need me to,
minister deep in our spirits, Lord. God, move me, Lord. Deep, deep. Move me, Lord. Move me with your word. Move me with your glory, Jesus. Move my heart with your presence, Jesus. Say yes to God this morning. Yes to your purpose. Yes to your plan, oh God.